Oh, I just had such a great conversation with Gemma Blythe. And we talked about cognitive behavioral therapy. We talked about PCOS. We talked about trauma. You know, we talked about what that meant to have trauma in your life and learn some skills to set boundaries and protect yourself against, you know, these predators, right? It was so good about using what has happened to you as your superpower and not something that is meant to destroy you. I hope you guys really sit and listen to this. She dropped so many amazing gems and she was vulnerable and she just talked about what went on. I mean, it was so good. It was so good. I'm going to shut up now so you can go watch it because it is really worth you stopping, listening to it in the car, watching it, whatever you got to do. So check it out. You're going to love it. What up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added, and I am so excited to have you on the show. I love that you guys are so freaking cool. You guys are DMing me and texting me and commenting and doing all this great stuff, and you have gotten me over 100,000 downloads, and you guys are amazing. When I first started this, I thought I was talking to myself in the air, and I probably was, but now over 100,000 of you are like downloading episodes, so I am truly, truly grateful. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. You know, I try to bring out the best people on the planet that come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today is truly no exception. So I have a really great guest with us. She's a powerhouse from across the pond. She is a cognitive behavioral coach who transforms lives in her unique approach of mental health and self-acceptance. I love that. So I cannot wait to get into this with Gemma. Her name is Gemma Blythe, and she has a journey that is incredible. So despite facing all of these significant challenges in her teenage years, including trauma and PCOS and an ongoing ADHD assessment, as you guys know I have, she has let nothing hold her back. And instead, she has turned her struggles into strength, using her experiences to empower others. And that's what this is about, right? So Gemma's the creator of Living Imperfectly Perfect. It's a movement that encourages embracing imperfections and living authentically. And I am so excited you're here, Gemma. Thank you for whatever time it is for you across the pond. I am sure it's not the same. It's probably late in the evening. And I'm really grateful for you taking the time to be here with my audience. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
Well, it's your bio. I mean, it's your resume, woman. Thank you for having an amazing resume. So I'm really glad you're here, Gemma. And you know, I have a really great audience. I always say it because I mean it. They're really good people. I have a lot of great, you know, comments and great feedback. And, you know, there are a lot of solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, coaches, like they're people who are really trying to do good in the world and have their mark in the world. And so, Gemma, the first question off the bat, because I want them to get to know you, is who are you? Who are you, Gemma? I introduced you, but who are you?
I am a life coach, as already been said. And I basically am just me. I love everything that doesn't go right. I'm a huge believer in we are presented with imperfections, like different diagnoses, different mistakes that we make at work. We are presented with all those because they're challenges that are meant to be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So why should we go against those challenges when we can combat those challenges and learn to accept and embrace them as part of us? I'm part of ourselves.
Yeah, you know, that's so beautiful too. You know, I was never really diagnosed, right? So, you know, a lot of us, especially maybe in my generation, Generation X, right? Which was like, oh, what are you, stupid? You know, stop doing that. You know, and you're like, I just honestly cannot understand. Like, I can't even read this. you know, because I also have a little bit of dyslexia. So sometimes I'd mix up my numbers, mix up my letters. I still do. That's why I write everything down, because I have to always review and review, right? Thank you, ChatGPT. Thank you so much, ChatGPT. Because there'll be times I'll write something, I'm like, I don't think this makes sense. Let me just rewrite it, you know? Yeah. But you're right, Gemma, you know, and I honestly, for me, I think it's a superpower when we have these things. I think that society has labeled something normal or not. And some things, yes, are maybe, you know, not socially accepted, right? We know that there are things in life that are not right and not socially accepted. But when it comes to like ADHD and ADD and dyslexia and all that kind of stuff, I also see that as an amazing challenge for our brain to give us a sort of a different way of viewing life. I remember my friends telling me, Nina, you do more in like an hour than I do the whole freaking day. How do you do that? It's my ADHD. I'm like literally like, boom, okay, done. Boom, 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 right? So exactly. So I love that you're doing this. I love that as, you know, as a cognitive behavioral coach, like you're coming up and you're saying, stop letting these things hold you back, right? We're going to get through your trauma. We're going to get through your PCOS, which I want you to talk about. So break that down for us, right? Because I know that when I was reading your bio, we were talking about the significant challenges in your teenage years that included this, right? The trauma, the PCOS, the ongoing ADHD, all of that. So break that down for us, if you don't mind. I don't know how, I don't want to like touch too much into your life if you don't want to, if you're not comfortable, but I'd love to talk about the trauma and the PCOS and how you've like started to work that as something you help people with. So break that down for us, if you don't mind.
Okay. So when I was at school, I always felt different anyway. Like I would be that kid without friends around her necessarily. So I learned to cope. So throughout all of that, that really helped me because it grounded me. That gave me the foundations that I needed to be able to cope with these different things that were thrown at me. And one of the things that has really come up for me just lately is that if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would have been able to come up with the coping mechanisms that I've got now, or be able to deal with putting things into some kind of perspective, as easy as that is with ADHD. Sometimes it's a little bit of a battle. But I've learned to have fun with the battle. So
that's great. I mean, I just want to pause you for 1 second, because I think one of the most powerful things, Gemma, is what you're saying is what could have destroyed you as a child actually developed skills in you. And I think that a lot of us need to realize the trauma sometimes has made us survivors, and we have to reframe our thinking and brain from it being, oh, this happened to me, you know, this happened, you know, for me. And, you know, anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I think that's so powerful, Gemma, because we have so many kids going through what you're saying. There's so many people that are still dealing with that internally. And at the same time, you're saying, but it has made me the person I am today. It has actually developed me into this person that I can, you know, be powerful in. So I love that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was awesome.
You're absolutely fine. I mean, that when I was younger, I had the family around me that I wanted. I had my mom, my dad, and then there was me. So when I was going through the trauma that I went through, my dad was in a hospice. He was on end-of-life care. The abuser was somebody close to the family. So he used to look after me, but then it became manipulative and all that kind of stuff. And as a kid, I was like, what's going on?
Right.
Like, where is my head at? Like, what is he doing? Is this right? Is it wrong? And there was only, I think, my two friends at school. That was it.
It's very isolating, right?
Yeah, because I felt like I couldn't talk to my mom because she was dealing enough with my dad. So I thought, okay, I have to find a way through. I have to try and compartmentalize. That's the word that I'm looking for. To get everything into perspective.
Yeah.
So that led me in all kinds of different directions. Like, I was managing. I don't know how, but I was managing. I'd got myself even then thinking, okay, my comfort place is my room and my bed. When I can get in there at night, that's fine. I know that I'm fine. So I became almost very boundaried and very untrusting of different people. But again, I class that as not a weakness, but a strength, because now it's made me able to look at people and know instantly who I can trust and who I can't.
You learned how to set boundaries too.
Yeah.
Right? You kind of learned, okay, these are my boundaries. This is where I'm safe. This is where, okay. So that's a good start, isn't it? Like, yes. I think that, you know, most of us don't know how to do that. I was molested as a child by my stepfather, and I would just lock up like my whole body. I would just lock up my whole body because I knew, you know, the room was pretty open. There was no door in my room, so he could come in whenever. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that being a defense mechanism. Like, I'm fighting you, and I'm going to fight you until I get knocked out like that. And I was little, I was like 6 years old, but I just remember thinking, I'm fighting you. You know what I'm saying? So there were times that I would fight, like, you are not going to touch me. And you learn a fight. I think that now that you said that, it kind of triggered something in my mind. Like, that's why I'm such a fighter. Mm. You know, like, I don't like things to knock me down. Jem, I'm really proud of you for that, right? Because I think that as a child, you're trying to figure this out. Yeah. And you were still going through the trauma too of losing your dad, or possibly starting to lose your dad. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, my dad, his illness went on for 18 months. And he went like a dementia patient, right? So whenever he'd look at me, he looked straight through me.
Wow.
And one thing that I always carried with me was Dad had a really good judge of character. And he would protect me and my mom with everything. So that I felt kind of passed down to me in that moment when I kind of needed it to. So throughout all that and all that messiness, I mean, the abuser got off. He didn't go to prison. The judge was surprised at the end of it. But that kind of left me in like a limbo, because I was like, okay, that's not closure that I needed.
Right.
And my dad's dying at the same time, or I think he had it gone at this point. So it was kind of like scales, but the scales hadn't dropped to one side like I needed them to. It was constantly like this, leaving me in the middle. So I was looking at things and trying to judge where I fitted in at this point. And I knew that I had to deal with almost him first and get the abuser gone out of my
right. mind.
So, I mean, up until I think it was 2022, late on, I met a wonderful therapist who guided me through and actually got me to a beautiful place that I'm now in, where I'm almost thankful for what he did.
Mm. Ooh, girl, wait a second. We need a microphone to drop around here. What did you just say? That is such power. Okay, hold on, Gemma. Hold on. Because I love moments like this, right? Moments where you can now speak to someone who is going through or is feeling what you are feeling. And you are now at the other side of it where you're saying, wait a second now, this abuser thought he was going to destroy me, but instead he strengthened me. There's something else here. Now he can go on with his pathetic, pitiful life, but your life has now been strengthened. That is so freaking powerful, Gemma. Okay, sorry. I just had to pause because that is such power. And I want people to steal that power right now in the air that you just put out there and say, nope, what has happened to you, what was made to destroy you is not going to destroy you if you don't allow it, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the tools that you started to use with this therapist? First of all, thank you to your therapist, because good therapists are gold.
They absolutely gold. Are.
They really are. I love, I've been to therapy myself and my therapist was gold, right? Mm-hmm. So tell me about that. What was that journey for you like? Because you had to now unpack this, right? Going through your therapist and unpacking all of the abuse again and what was going on and how he got off and all that kind of stuff. So tell me about the tools that you learned to use with the therapist.
Okay, so I learned a lot of what I do now, actually, which is I learned journaling, but in a deeper level. And when it came down to what I call my end of session with him, was where he got me to close my eyes and relive one of the abuse situations. But after it, like, the weight on my chest lifted.
Wow.
The weight of the past, God knows how many years, was gone.
That's so powerful.
And I was just left feeling light. But I knew what I wanted to do. And that was to help women who have been through similar situations and get them to a point where they're not feeling lost, that they have a plan, that they don't have any self-guilt or lack of self-worth or even lack of self-acceptance. And that's where the idea ultimately of where living imperfectly perfect came from.
I love that.
Because I thought nothing is perfect. The sooner everybody can stop striving for what's perfect and start accepting the imperfect, this new gateway opens. So the potential is unlimited.
And so good.
That is quite powerful for people to start learning and start embracing, because you find new corners of your mind that were untapped before because you hadn't knocked those doors down. You put those doors there by striving for perfection. So you're almost running into that door repeatedly, not getting anywhere. But the sooner you open that door, there's imperfection.
Yeah. I think that that's the maybe the scary part for people who are listening, right, is the reopening of that door. Mm-hmm. I think people feel that if they open it, they're going to be living in that space forever. And I think that that's why it's important to do it with someone who knows what they're doing. I think it's important to be in therapy or have a coach or have somebody who's been through that and can process that with you. You know, I to get through my trauma, I went to back to school and got my neurolinguistic programming master certification so that I can help myself. And then that helped me to help others. But I love that you're doing that. And I wanted you to just quickly give me the definition. And for those who don't know what PCOS is, please.
So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically hell.
Yeah, it is, right? So you were dealing with physical symptoms as well as mental, right? As well as trauma and ADHD and all of that as well. And so have you gotten through those parts of your life too, the PCOS and everything? Is that behind you or how's that?
The PCOS is ongoing.
Ongoing.
I would say it's managed at the moment, which is brilliant. So
yes.
because like the pain before was just it was awful. I was in A&E, so emergency care, for one night. They thought it was like a bowel problem, and they put me on Buscopan, which is like IBS relief.
Oh boy.
So okay. I was like, it's not that. It's so not that.
It's so not that, right?
But the reality of it is there's birth control, and that's the only thing that doctors push.
Hmm.
So it's like, if, unless you're one of the lucky few, as I understand it, to take birth control and it like jumpstart everything, then you're stuck.
Mm.
Which I completely disagree with, because a person who is stuck is a person who is unhappy.
Right.
And that to me struck me as another imperfectly perfect. It's a situation that you found yourself in that you need to somehow find little positives and little rays of light beaming down.
Right.
So for years, that's what I used to do. So for me, it was writing, because I love to write as well. And it was planning coaching, ultimately. So when I was going through the pain and everything else, I was unfortunately in a bit of a rocky relationship, which ended, thankfully. But yeah, so it was kind of, it was looking for the perfect amid the imperfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So take us through now, yeah, that you've gotten all this work that you've done within you, and now that you've gotten into life coaching and helping others, take us through a little bit of what it is that you're helping people with. Like, how are you helping them? Do they come to you as a one-off? Is it something where you're doing deep work and they're with you for a certain amount of time? Tell me a little bit about what you're doing now to impact the world with what you've gone through.
I've got a program, actually, which I'm just really excited about. And it covers self-acceptance, embracing imperfections, covering self-worth, erasing guilt, and all that kind of thing. So when people leave, they gain new habits, they gain accountability, they gain a new community. It's amazing. And as well, like, there's options, of course, to book calls with me, like as a one-to-one, to have personalized sessions, and just to basically chat with someone who gets it,
mm-hmm,
rather than somebody who pretends to get it.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. That's so good. Because I think there is something to be said about our trauma or our now healed wounds meeting somebody's trauma, right? Mm-hmm. When there's something to be said about that connection. You know, when I wrote my book, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, it was like 2018, I did it really for a cathartic experience, to write out all of my story and to get it out of me, right? And when I press publish, I knew I was going to have family members that were going to be mad at me, probably didn't speak to me. They didn't for some time, but that's okay. One of the things that it did do, though, Gemma, is that it connected my experience and trauma with others, and it started to become into book clubs. People were reading it and handing it to other people. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that, right? But there is something to be said, because then everybody was coming to me with their trauma. They were like, oh yeah, my brother did that to me, my aunt did that to me, my father did that to me. I was like, wow. And I was reading some like insane statistic. It's like 8 out of 10 girls have been abused. I'm like, what? That is a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not just girls. Boys are just as high. Boys just don't say it as much as girls do, or don't express it, because they're embarrassed, and it's sad, but it's true. Boys get abused as well. And it's really sad to me that children are getting abused. Even as me and you are speaking right now, there are children being abused, right?
Yeah. I mean,
And
what's also striking is that when I was going through it, I wasn't allowed to tell anybody mm-hmm. around me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I lived in that bubble for years and years and years and years and years. And then I thought, well, hang on, I'm giving my abuser the power. Like,
right.
Why should he still have the power over me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even live in that area anymore.
Right. So, oh, yes. Yes. It's
like, mm-hmm. no, mm-hmm. no, you should not have that power over me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yep. rather than keep it hidden, that's why I write about it. That's why I talk about it. Because, and that's something that I want other people to know as well. Like, after you've been through it, don't feel scared or ashamed to talk about it.
Ashamed, exactly right. Exactly
because
right.
you're not in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately,
yeah.
you're in the wrong.
Yeah, and it's very interesting how our brain does that, right? Because we know it's the wrong thing, we immediately take it on as our shame and guilt. And, you know, when I realized, wait a second, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what am I ashamed of? He should be ashamed. What am I ashamed of? That was really empowering because I realized, hold on a second. Wait a minute. I was a little girl. I told my mother, she told me to shut up and, you know, stop lying. So I know she was scared too, because he was an abuser. So she was probably like, oh my God, if you say something, he's going to kill us. You know what I'm saying? So she was going through her own fears. I didn't know that as a little kid. I know that now as an adult. But I want to tell you, all of you who are listening, and I like, if the statistics are right, 8 out of 10 people, then I know that there are a few of you who are listening. They're like, oh shit, she's reading my letter right now. Gemma's reading my letter. And it's because you have been abused too. And let me tell you something. No shame on you. All the shame goes on them. All of it, right? So I want you to give yourself permission and the freedom to be free. Because when you are harboring shame or unforgiveness or guilt, it's like you're giving them a remote control to your life. So even though they're no longer around you or near you, they are literally still controlling decisions, relationships, how you show up, how you feel, your self-worth, if you have imposter syndrome, if all this stuff comes up. And when we don't start to release it or work with somebody like Gemma, who's helping you deal with this trauma and learn that you're worthy and learn what you have in you. And when you get to that point, you realize that you now sever that remote control, that person no longer has that power. And let me tell you something, we hold on to shit more than they do. They've abused you and moved on to the next person they're abusing. They don't think about you twice, right? But we're still thinking about them. No, yeah. Don't give them that free space in your mind. You don't have it. The free space in your mind should be about your self-worth, what you want to build, what you want to create, what your life should be. That should be the space that's filled up, right? I'm sorry, Gemma. You just got me fired up over here, Gemma. Because I'm telling you, I love seeing people empowered. And I'm sure that that is probably the crux of what you do and how much passion that must be for you when you're seeing your clients break through, right? Mm-hmm. That must be so amazing. So I really, really love what you're doing, Gemma. I love how you're showing up in the world and I love how you're helping others. Man, kudos to you, woman. I wish you weren't across the pond so I can go hug you right now. Because you're really amazing. And I love that you're helping people with this trauma and for them to understand that their trauma is not their hindrance, but it's their power. And mm-hmm. so I want to thank you for that and all the strong gems you've left all around here. You're like dropping gems, bunch of gems around here for people to pick up. Gemma, if somebody wants to work with you, you know, we're in the States, right? And I'm assuming that you do everything online. So I'm sure you can take clients from wherever. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. And so how does somebody contact you to work with you and be free?
Excitingly, I have my own website.
Yay!
So it's www.gemmablythe.com.
Awesome. So it's simple, just like that. Gemmablythe.com.
Yeah.
Go on here, check me out, right? Do you, can somebody just call you to kind of see how they can start living imperfectly perfect? Like, could somebody call you and say, hey, Gemma, I heard you on the show and I just wanted to see if this is a good fit. Do you offer that?
Absolutely. I always recommend what I call discovery calls beforehand. Okay. So it's just a bit of an informal chit chat for about 30 minutes. where we just sit and talk and see if we're a good fit.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I know it's probably late at night for you. I'm really, really grateful that you came on. And I loved our conversation. And I love that you were so honest and transparent and vulnerable and willing to show what you've been through to help others. Thank you for that, Gemma. Really, thank you.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Anybody that I can help, I will.
Thank you. Guys, I told you, right? When I tell you I find good humans, I mean it. And she's across the pond, but it's like she's my sister here, right here in the States, right? She's here in Texas hanging out with me right now. But I want to thank you guys so much. I want to make sure that those of you who are listening, if it triggered something for you, I don't want you to think of it as a bad thing. I actually think the trigger is a good thing. When we get triggered, it's because it's something we have to recognize. It's something we have to look at and go, why is that triggering me? And that goes for anything in life. If you're listening to something in life and you get angry about it or triggered about it really quick, stop and pause and say, why am I triggered for that? You know, like, it's just that person's opinion, or it's just that thing, or it's just this. You know, sometimes we are triggered because of hurts and things that have happened to us, and, you know, maybe something that was said to us, all that kind of stuff. So like Gemma said, you know, walk through that process and call her. Like, a 30-minute call is a beautiful gift, because it's a 30-minute call where you can actually talk to someone who doesn't have judgment on you, is just listening to what you have to say, and then can tell you, hey, if we did this and this and this, you can get through this. Right? So take advantage of that, guys. Okay. And stop thinking that you're the superhero and you have to just hide it and just keep moving forward like I used to do, when there are things there that need to be addressed. Just address it already so that you can live the latter part of your life in the best way you can possibly live it. I love you guys so much. You guys are amazing. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, and definitely share this video with anybody you think would need that kind of insight and help. Okay. 8 out of 10, guys. 8 out of 10, it's time to bring some freedom to the world. I love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.